I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard, and I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down, really. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome back to Core. This is Core for Thursday, December 3rd, 2020. This is episode some such, 246, actually. And my name is Scott Johnson. I'm joined today with and by John Jagger. I don't know why by, but you're with me. Hi, John.
Well, yeah, I'm by you in the window. Hello.
That's true. Bo's not here. Just us two. We're two men in it because he had some stuff, so he's going to not be here tonight. But we're going to get our way through this show, Bo-less, which is only scary if you are an archer and you have no bow. Then you're screwed. Mm-hmm. But we miss him. We can't wait to see him again. We will soon, but tonight, nay. But there's a lot to talk about. In particular, the world of video games. And we're going to dive into it right now with this. John, I noticed something that we should probably talk about.
Yeah, we should.
Fortnite seems to, I should say Fortnite and Epic, seem to really be laying into whatever relationship they have with Disney and also Sony right now. And in particular, on the Sony side, Kratos is coming to Fortnite. And Fortnite's still a threat and thing to be reckoned with. In fact, one of us played a bunch of Fortnite. Hint, it wasn't me. I'm going to find out why John was playing Fortnite today. But anyway, Kratos is coming to Fortnite. And also on the Disney side, Disney slash LucasArts side, the Mandalorian himself and the child, we now know his name. Do we say it? Is that a spoiler? I don't know. What's the decorum
I don't
here?
Think so.
You don't think so? I mean, it was only.
He has a name. You can. What did they? Everybody think he didn't have a name before?
Well, I think because the show went a season and a half without saying anything about his name, and now he suddenly has a name. I've become, and I know you and I are about the same when it comes to spoilers. We're not, you know, we're not spoiler Nazis, and we don't get that worked up over it. In some cases, you'll hear a thing and it makes me more excited about a thing. I actually really don't care about spoilers. Not a big deal for me. But somebody somewhere knows, or somebody somewhere is going to be like, oh, wait, they say what his name is in that episode? Don't tell me. I want to see it for myself. And I always get way overly sensitive to what those people are going to think or say. So I don't mind saying it because it reminds me of a Dragon Ball Z character.
It does remind me of a Dragon Ball Z character.
So I'm just going to say
it's close.
So if you want to skip this, just hit 30 seconds ahead right this second, okay? Okay, good. They're not here now. The name of that thing is Grogu.
Yep.
Grogu. How do you feel? It's like finding out it's Cosmo Kramer a little bit. How do you feel about Grogu?
You know, it's weird. It's weird to all of a sudden have a name attached to it, but yeah. It's fine. That's a great little baby name. I mean,
it's Star Warsy too, right?
What's a Yoda? Yeah, you know, like exactly. There was a time where we were like, okay, you know, people gotta grow into their names.
I agree, and it's very Star Wars, so I don't have a problem with it at all. It's not all that different to me than saying somebody's name is like Mace Randar or freaking. Any of those dumb names that you could just take words and mix up, and there's suddenly you have a Star Wars name. Yeah. So it isn't
Count Dooku.
There you go.
Just want to remind you, we live in a world where you take Count Dooku seriously.
Oh, I still have a hard time taking Dooku seriously, but yes.
Your main villain in the entire series is Sheev Palpatine.
Sheev. Oh, right. We just found that out not long ago. Sheev.
So just, you know. It's all in what you do with it. Yep. He's still a cute little baby. You can still call him Baby Yoda, though there's going to be people who are jerks and correct you for it.
Yep.
And there's still going to be people that just call him the child. Yeah. And that's fine, too.
The child is accurate. Baby Yoda is probably the least accurate, but I don't have a problem with somebody saying it. And now the official title is Grogu. We do not have a last name. Looking forward to that one day. Perhaps he will be called Grogu... Gun meat dart. Cleaver. Oh, meat cleaver. Oh, okay. That's not bad. Meat cleaver is pretty good. Yeah.
I mean, we know the Mandalorian's name. Everybody still calls him the Mandalorian.
That's true. Because it's much cooler than what's his name? It's like Threave Buttnot or something like that. What is it?
Din Djarin.
Din Djarin.
Yeah.
Is it Din Djarin or Din Djarin?
Din Djarin. Okay. But it's spelled with a quiet D at the end.
Okay. I kind of like Dindigen.
That was, yeah, Dindigen.
And I don't know if Yoda ever had a last name either. And maybe they don't. They're a species without last names. I have no idea.
He did. It was Leihu.
Shut up. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. We have to end the show now. We can't be here anymore.
I messed that joke up. I messed it up on top of it.
It's hard to do because you can't remember Yoda.
Yeah.
Leihu. You know what you should remember is like from the South Trailer Park Boys, think of Jim Leahy and then start with Leahy. Yeah. So Leihu.
Yeah. Leihu.
That was really terrible. Thanks, everybody. It's been a good run. And we'll start a new podcast soon. Don't worry. Anyway, he's in it. And here's how it works. Mandalorian runs around and shoots stuff, the way you do in Fortnite, and I assume he can fly further or do some more higher jumps or something because he's got that jetpack. There's got to be something with that.
No, you play as him.
Yeah,
well, he's in there too.
Well, if you do, do you play as him, right?
Like, sort of. So he's a skin. So if you buy the battle pass for this season of Fortnite, you get the Mandalorian skin.
Okay.
And by default, it's the like initial one that you saw him where he's got the nice helmet, but then kind of the crappy rest of his armor.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get quests throughout the season to go find Beskar to complete the armor set as you play.
That's kind
of cool. I've already got the shoulder pad with the little.
This is why John's playing. I get it now. Of course,
I got the little mudhorn insignia on my shoulder now, and I'm feeling pretty good about it.
Here's what's gonna happen. I'm gonna make a prediction. John's gonna play and get all that Beskar armor, which is cool. The concept of that is rad. I love it, especially the last episode. And Beskar made a real nice appearance in there. Also, is that new lore, by the way? Not to sidetrack us real quick, but is it new lore that it's also kind of a spoiler? Not really, but. Are lightsabers meant to be, is Beskar armor and the material itself supposed to be lightsaber resistant and or impervious to lightsabers? Do you know?
So it wasn't specifically Beskar, but there was always a material that lightsabers couldn't cut through, and it was called cortosis back in the day. And now it seems like they've taken the idea behind cortosis and just sort of said, well, what if it was Beskar, and what if that was the armor that, you know, Mandalorians wore and all of that?
Have you or anyone you know been diagnosed with cortosis? You may be part of a class action lawsuit if you've had cortosis. That's what that sounds like. And that word is dumb. Dumb. But anyway, the point is, John, it got John into Fortnite, and now I get it. Now I understand. John's love for Star Wars is deep, especially good Star Wars, and we are in the middle of some real good Star Wars, so why not? I mean, I have to admit,
it was hard to pass up. Like, that was the thing, is I'm like, I saw it, and I was like, oh, that's cool. Fortnite, you know, I hate that game. I don't really like it all that much.
Yeah.
But mostly just the building. That's the only problem I have with it.
Let me ask you this. Same here. If it didn't have that building aspect, I think I'd probably play Fortnite. Yeah. Legit, I would pick it up here and there and play it. Because building sucks!
Yeah, like, if you could just build a ramp, like, if it was just, like, two hotkeys and it was like, do you want to build ramp or wall? And that was all you had to do, I'd probably be okay with that. That's fine. But the, like, gathering materials and... Yeah. Like shooting a guy and then all of a sudden a castle appears in front of you. Like, no, thank you.
I know. The problem is that genie's out of the bottle. So I know they've done versions of the game with building out of it, like a mode that's like a temporary mode where you can go in there and not have any building. Those are the times I had the most fun with Fortnite. And it's a thing that's been there since the beginning and was a carryover from their other game they were making before the Battle Royale thing took off and destroyed all the world. And so they were like, well, I guess that's staying. And now they can't take it out. And I understand, right? There are people that are so good at the building aspect that that's a huge part of their strategy at the higher level of play, blah, blah, blah. But I call it a bummer. In an otherwise incredibly successful thing, well done, everybody. You did great. But you left the building in, and now you can't take it out. And I feel bad for you and generations of people who know you. All right? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so I started paying attention to Fortnite because the last event was a Marvel event. I'm a big Marvel fan, not enough to have participated in it, but I was paying attention to it.
Sure.
And I guess it ended with Galactus coming down to the map, and it had a giant battle against Galactus where you literally flew inside his body, and there was like an arcade-style shooter that you played inside the body of Galactus trying to stop him, and that all sounded pretty awesome. I didn't participate in. I saw screenshots. He was really big.
Yeah, he was big
with Galactus. But
they did not. They did not skimp on that. That sense. I love this one. It's accomplished well in video games. But that sense of scale was legit with Galactus. Yeah.
I saw it and I was like, oh.
They made a mistake though, John. They screwed up. Here's what they screwed up. That should have been a massive battle between gigantic Galactus and gigantic Travis Scott, rapper extraordinaire.
He's just throwing his favorite Happy Meal or McDonald's food at
them. Because he's already, you know, been in there, did that live concert in there, and they made him huge in there, so I know he's big. That's the fight I want to see.
That's just like, I like to dunk the Galactus in the barbecue sauce. Nobody's ever done this before.
All right, I have this question. When you're playing as Jin, whatever his name is. When you're playing as the Mandalorian and you got Goku or Grogu next to you, Grogu, he floats around behind you, I assume.
No, he's not in it. This is just a skin.
Oh, it's just
He's in the video. I don't know if you can find him in the game. So I got in, logged into the game. I saw a cutscene and there's a whole story that I haven't been following, but Fortnite has this continuous story. And this guy is basically summoning what he calls hunters from the far reaches of every parallel universe in the world. And so the first person he called wanting a good hunter was the Mandalorian. And so you see him show up with Baby Yoda at the beginning, and they're in the little cutscene together. And then I apparently had played and unlocked a bunch of content from a previous season before I, you know, got out of there. And I had enough V-Bucks earned from playing that season to purchase the current season for free, essentially. And so I immediately purchased it. I got my Mandalorian skin. I got into a match. I dropped down, and you can find down on the map, the Razor Crest is crashed on the map.
Okay.
And if you go there, the actual Mandalorian is there protecting his ship, and he will kill people, and he's quite good at it.
So he's OP because you can't really mess with him. Okay.
He's real good.
Yeah.
But I snuck up while he was shooting other people and got close enough to get my cool shoulder plate, which is how you get it. And then I got out of there.
I gotcha.
And yeah, so that, I mean, that's it. And that, I didn't see Baby Yoda at the Razor Crest, but I did see him walking around shooting people. And it's neat. You know, that sort of stuff is cool. And I have a ton of respect for what they're doing with that game. I mean, I think, obviously, they have the money to do it. It's not a luxury that every video game company out there has, but I think that's the future of kind of the MMO scene, mm-hmm. is these big events that bring people together. And it doesn't have to be tie-in events. It doesn't have to be that. But I think, as much fun as the other game I played that we'll talk about, having 2 years and then a big expansion release, as fun as that is, I think having these crazy big content hits and people just dealing with FOMO, like, I don't want to miss out on the Mandalorian stuff. Like, even I'm feeling it now. I played it one match. That's all I played. And I was like, I really should have played during the Marvel stuff. I would have had some cool Marvel stuff.
Yeah.
No, maybe I should never miss another season of this game.
I mean, basically they figured out the magic potion to maintain their current base and to attract people into it later. And part of that is making mega $1 million deals with massive companies like Disney and, you know, Sony and whoever, and Marvel. Like, that's a big deal that they're doing that. And obviously it pulls people in who would otherwise not have anything to do with this, like you. Yeah. And yet here you are. So I guess I was surprised to hear. So you really only played a little, though, it sounds like. And like you said, just a match, right? And that's it.
I played one match and I equipped my skin and went, oh, I look good. And then I looked at the battle pass and I was like, you know, if I did one more match, I'd be able to have the Mandalorian helmet as my icon for this game.
Right.
So I should probably do that.
But here's what would depress me. You would get that, and then I would watch you stream this, and then you would be like all those people who play this game where they can't sit still and they fiddle with their weapons switching all the time. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. I do that even when I'm not streaming. Yeah.
Why? What? What? Why? It's my least favorite thing about watching anybody play that game.
You can't help it.
Oh, it's so bad.
It's fluid. You need to do it. You need to keep those slots primed and ready. And, you know, Bo gave a good reason. You know, you switch between shotgun, close range, and something that's a little bit longer. You're prepared for whatever comes up.
Yeah. Well, there is something to that. And I don't want to poo-poo people's, you know, attempt at pro play in that game. But something, I don't know. I wish it just didn't animate. Maybe that would be the answer, is just, I don't know how you do it. It has to, because it's a third-person game.
But you get that tunnel vision on it when you're watching people play, and you're just like, yeah, what are they doing?
I know, and I hate it. It just, it feels fiddly in the way that jumping in old Counter-Strike used to be, which isn't so much true in Go now. But you remember all the jumping, all the bunny hopping, they called it? I hated that. It just, I couldn't watch people bunny hop all day in those videos. And so,
there's something about the start of a Counter-Strike match where you just hear the of everybody like buying and throwing prep and equipping stuff, and then they all equip their knife because they run faster, and then they just do that stupid little soldier run of and they just like hop, and I'm like, what is this? What are we doing?
Yep.
I don't want to live in a world where this is what you have to do.
Video games, it's funny, players are going to do whatever they're going to do. I doubt very highly that Epic thought that switchy thing was, that they weren't thinking about that. That's just built into the way the character weapon switching goes. So they weren't thinking about that at all. And now that it happens, what are they going to do? They can't do anything. It just annoys me. I don't know why it annoys me so much. So much about that game annoys me. But I don't have a problem with anyone who plays it. You should all play it.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. I don't consider myself a Fortnite fan, but I've put a lot of hours into it. Obviously, I logged in and I had enough season points from the last time I played to pay for a new season. So, like, I've played, I've gotten into it for sure. But yeah, there's things I don't love.
Yeah.
But they're onto something with that. And I would love to see other game companies eyeball that. It doesn't have to all be tie-ins. I don't want to play the McDonald's WoW expansion.
No.
Like, no, no, thank you. But I think there's something to be said about content that hasn't been data mined 8 months in advance. Although some of that does happen with Fortnite, because I guess they knew the Mandalorian was coming. But like, gotcha. you're not sitting there going, well, I've already seen all the cutscenes. And so now it's just waiting 6 months for it to come out and then go, yep, there's the cutscene that I saw. It's good.
Well, here's an interesting twist. Kinlan in the chat says Baby Yoda, Grogu, is going to be a backpack that's unlockable. So it's not, doesn't come with the skin, but you can unlock it as a backpack. And I like that, because that means if you have the John Wick skin, you can just roll around with Baby Yoda on your back. That's pretty cool.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah. That's even, well, now you got me interested. What unholy combination of skins can I create in this game with Baby Yoda involved? That's my new goal.
You should get in. You should get in. Just see if you have enough V-Bucks. Buy yourself a Mandalorian skin. That way, if the day ever comes up, Scott, where you're like, man, I really want to play Fortnite. They got me. They did something and they got me. You're not sitting there going, why can't I look like the Mandalorian? Everybody else can look like the Mandalorian. Why can't I?
Yeah. Why not me? And if not me, who? And if not now, when? Yeah. That's the question. Well, anyway, if you want to check it out, millions of Fortnite kids are enjoying. Oh, it's not yet though, right? Is it out now? You can play it now?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, so apparently you can be the Mando now, and then you can get that backpack unlocked or buy it. Or
Kratos, not yet. That's still in the rumor stage. Also rumored there's going to be somebody from Microsoft. I'm going to guess Master Chief, on account of the fact that Microsoft doesn't exactly have a huge roster of ready-to-be mascots in a big Fortnite-like game.
I could see Master Chief. I could see Marcus Fenix. I could see.
Okay. Yeah.
Hold on. Yeah, mascot wise that fits in a shooter like that. Maybe that's it. Who else am I thinking of here? Joanna Dark. Don't they own that property now?
They do, but that would be really weird. They're like, we're bringing in Kratos from Sony. And Joanna Dark from Microsoft. Imagine. She had a successful game on a Nintendo platform and an awful one on the Microsoft platform.
Good point.
Remember Joanna Dark, yeah. Everybody?
Here's Banjo and Kazooie. Unlocked.
I wouldn't
separately.
Argue with that.
I wouldn't either.
Especially if it's overweight Banjo from Nuts and Bolts. Did you ever play Nuts and Bolts?
No, the one where you could build like cars and fly and stuff and all that. Never did.
Yeah.
People like
you
that.
Should boot that up. Because it is a very great game.
Yeah.
But the intro is exactly the same as how Banjo-Kazooie originally starts, except the implication is because they haven't had a game in so long, they've just been sitting around the house, like, playing video games and watching TV, so Banjo is fat.
Oh, okay.
And so he goes out to do some platforming, and he's slow as shit, and he can't jump. And he's just, he gets out of breath if you run too long.
That's
and
great.
And he just,
much to the chagrin of Kazooie, I'm sure, isn't happy about any of this.
Yeah, Kazooie can't carry him anymore, because they used to do that thing where Kazooie would flip and he'd run real fast.
Yeah.
He can't do it because he can't lift Banjo anymore.
That's funny. I like the premise, and it's on Game Pass. I have no excuse. I should just try it and see how that goes. I always heard back in the day, people were like, oh, this game is so good. And I think it may have come out about the time my 360 died, and there was a gap, and then I got another one, and then everything that happened during the gap, I kind of didn't play. It's a different time, man. Different time. All right. We're also a week away, if all things hold, from Cyberpunk 2077. It's actually happening, everybody. The game looks like it's going to happen, and I can't believe we only have a week. That's crazy. And that makes me think about some of the other stuff I'm going to tell you today. All of it gets shelved for a bit, you know?
Yeah.
Like, whatever I'm doing, this Warcraft expansion, freaking Valhalla, some other stuff I'll talk about later, all of it gets pushed to the side, at least for a time, while Cyberpunk gets its claws into me. And this is like most everybody else as well. And I can't believe that's only a week. I need to, that makes me feel like I have work to do, even though it's a game. They're just games I want to play.
So they're so doing weird. A global release. So for us, Scott, it is going to be December 9th at 5 p.m.
5 p.m. December 9th, 5 p.m. Mountain Time, which is what you're currently on with your weird Arizona refusal to have time zones.
I mean, we think of it as normal here. And
honestly, I want what you have. I'll take what you have. I prefer it. I would much rather do what you're doing. And so it'll never happen, though, because we're weird here. But yeah, like... that's a big day. So count down the hours almost. You can almost start doing that. And it's all downhill from there. It's all cyberpunk all day. Here's the funny thing about my decision of where I'm going to play cyberpunk. Something's happened to me over the last couple of weeks where if you approach me and say, Scott, I would like you to play this single player focused RPG action shooter and or third person thing. Here's a game that you're probably going to prefer playing with a controller no matter what. Okay. And even if it's a shooter, it's single players, who cares? And I'm fine with shooters on controllers. I have no problem with it. I'm just, I'm not going to win any esports tournaments or anything, but that's not why I play those games. So if you said, hey, here's Fallout, I'd say, oh yeah, I'd probably play that on controller. Here's these Assassin's Creed games, 100% playing those on controllers. Like, that's kind of where my head's at with that sort of stuff. And I am so loving my Series X that I think I'm getting it there. Is that blasphemous to do that? I mean, I've got a really good video card over here. I have a 3080 coming. They're not in yet, though. Like, there's lots.
You know what?
Yeah.
I think you might be onto something. Now, I already bought it. I already bought it on the PC.
Oh, you pre-ordered, did you?
I did. Well, I was at a point where I was like, okay, I need to control my spending.
Yeah. Spend it now.
Buy Cyberpunk now because I don't know if I'm going to be able to buy it later.
No, that's a very decent point. Like, everyone always says, why pre-order? And there are some times where that's the reason, and it's a good reason, you know?
So I was like, well, I need to just spend responsibly after right now, click, and then purchase it. But now that I think about it, you know, it's a really easy way to do the 4K. The screen I would play on in that case is an HDR screen, which my normal standard PC doesn't support.
Same. My monitor.
I think there might be something to this. Yeah. Like, it might look better off the Series X than my PC.
Also,
my video card is not that new. Sure. I mean, it's decent. It's not bad. It's a 2070.
Yeah, that's a good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah,
but
here's the thing.
I don't think it's blasphemous.
Here's the other reason I'm saying it, and it has a lot to do with what I played during the last since we last spoke. I'm being reminded why I love some game experiences need to be on my PC. And that's just how it is. If I'm playing WoW, whatever, you know, a strategy game, I just need to be there. That's how it is. But there's something to be just on your butt on a couch that is great. And I mean by like comfort level, I'm not hunched before in front of a computer on a chair I don't really love. And thinking about, oh, my, why is my back hurt? Or, you know, I've been sitting here too long. Or this is where I do work. And also, this is now where I'm playing. And that annoys me. To be able to just go in there, plop down on a couch. It's a little chilly. So you get a blanket. Get a little something snacky over here. You got your wireless controller and your great big HDR TV. And then surround sound, beautiful sound. There's something about that that I've missed, and I've missed for a while because I didn't go hard console this last generation like at all. I mean, I played a lot of Sony games, but it wasn't like my main thing. And the more I've done that over the last couple of weeks, the more I'm like, I think I'm getting it here. Like, what? There's no downside in my head. The only thing that would stop
chat just pointed out, and I don't know if this is true, but it could be. Only the Xbox One version comes out at launch, right? You might have to wait for the Series X Enhanced. I think that might be true.
Oh, is that
unless
true?
In part of the delays, they delayed into a simultaneous launch. But I vaguely remember that actually being accurate, and that being the case was that this was announced for previous gen consoles. And while they did confirm that it would be coming out on next gen,
Yeah.
So yeah, it might not be the next gen version you're looking for.
Is it?
You get the upgrade when it came out, but you might be waiting for that upgrade.
All right. So I found an article while you were talking there about how this is going to work, how the Cyberpunk 2077 PS5/Xbox Series X upgrade will work. If you haven't been keeping up to date on the topic, blah, 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 blah. Okay, the Series X and the PS5 upgrade protocol is somewhat confusing. While the game itself is launching this year, that's only for PS4, Xbox One, and PC. The current gen platforms get the game later down the line. So if you're wondering about the Cyberpunk 2077 PS5 and Xbox Series S release, don't worry, this article is here to help. Okay, so here's the easy bit. On release date, December 10th, Cyberpunk will launch on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. You can lock in your pre-order now, guarantee yourself the game on the last generation of platforms, or PC, which just is like perpetuity platform. Okay, then it says, once you've got your copy, that's where it gets interesting. The Xbox Series X launched November 20th, and the PS5, the PS5, they're telling us when the consoles launched. I don't care about any of this. Okay, when Cyberpunk launches, you'll have, you can play your PS4 or Xbox One copy on either current gen console, so you can play them there. I figured that. That makes sense, right? You can buy, certainly on the Xbox side, they made that easy. It's all backwards compatible now, or I would assume current compatible. But anyway, developer CD Projekt Red has confirmed that your PS4 copy of the game will work on a PS5 on launch day. Anyone who buys the game on the Xbox One will be able to play their copy on the Series X when the console launches as well. When originally confirming the Xbox Series S upgrade, CD Projekt Red said via Twitter, quote, gamers should never be forced to purchase the same game twice or pay for upgrades. So, let's see. I'm trying to see if there's confirmation on this. Okay. Some point in the future. Oh, they didn't have a date for the full releases for the new consoles.
No, I think it's just going to be 2021, probably. But
okay. So they don't intend to jack up the price, and this thing's going to run it at least as good or better than an Xbox
One would.
One X, yeah. And so, and that means load times and other stuff are going to be better. So I'm still tempted.
Yeah, it might still be fine, and you likely, if it's where you want to play, then it doesn't really matter. I mean, that's right. Going to be the same principle regardless. Like, right. Even if you don't have a PS5 or an Xbox Series X, if you would rather play that game on a couch, then buy it for a PS4 or buy it for Xbox One or, whatever you have.
Yeah. Now I don't know what I want to do. I'm slightly torn. Because I forgot. I forgot this isn't a simultaneous all versions launch for this thing, which is a real bummer because I feel like this would have been about the time for that secondary launch anyway. And you would think all these delays, like you said earlier, or alluded to, the idea that they would have caught up to it, and had it all ready at once. And that bums me out. If it does 4K and 120 FPS on the right TV, or 60 or more is what all I care about, then I think I might be in, but I might need to see. I assume we're going to get some reviews ahead of launch, unless they're not planning on it. I don't know. But yeah. I'd love to hear some of this.
I mean, who is it? Is it Digital Foundry that usually does the, we'll show you what all the versions comparisons are?
Yeah.
So, I'm sure you can very close to launch take a look and say, well, here's exactly what I'm missing out on if I go with, the Xbox version. And when it does come out, you're going to get a big boost. So I don't think it's necessarily a bad purchase unless you think you're going to play through it before that would come out and you want it to be the best experience possible.
Right. And then I have to wonder, if this thing runs at 60 frame, if they can go 60 or better at 4K, then I probably don't care. And I'd still get it on the couch. Cause then when the upgrade comes, I'm just, oh sweet. Now I've got ray tracing and other stuff or whatever.
Right.
But none of this is guaranteed. And obviously a PC version sounds neat, but there's always launch issues with PC versions, typically with games this big. So, we need to make sure all that's good.
Will say CD Projekt Red is definitely going to favor the PC release because they consider themselves a PC game manufacturer or publisher. Mm-hmm. So you will see PC get the brunt of the attention, I think, for this release.
Yeah.
So I feel pretty confident that PC is going to be, if not stable out the gate, you will see them putting in the effort there. Right. I don't think you're going to see some weird situation where, well, it's running great on the consoles, but the PC version is being ignored. I think it would more likely go the other way with that.
I can't remember how The Witcher went, Witcher 3. Do you remember if it was any issue?
It was definitely better on the PC than the consoles at first.
Yeah, it seems like it.
I got the console version of Witcher 3, and I couldn't read it because all the text was too small. Right. And it took a lot longer than you would think to get a patch that made the text a readable size on the TV. Whereas I guess that stuff was coming out for the PC fairly quickly.
Well, maybe they'll do a thing that I'll get into soon about saves that may make another decision for me. So we'll talk about that in a minute. Cause I made a choice for science this week so that I could come to the show.
I know what you did now.
I did a scientific experiment. And I took the hit for it so that we could have a show and the listeners could have more information for their buying choice lifestyle. Okay? We're doing you a service, everybody. And I'll tell you more about that soon. Bad news, though, first. Mass Effect and Dragon Age leads have left BioWare. Both major next-gen products of Dragon Age and Mass Effect, they're out. Gone. Out of here.
This is Casey Hudson and Mark Dara.
Yeah, that's not great. That's a bummer.
I mean,
not that games depend on one person or anything like that. Like, I remember people saying, oh, with Metzingon, WoW's just going to be terrible, and forgetting about BFA for a minute. I was just talking to him the other day, and he is utterly blown away by how much he loves this new expansion, as an example. Like, the people we all think are, you know, leaving, it all goes to crap, love it more. He's like, man, the people in charge right now are killing it. We weren't doing work as good as this. This is amazing what they're putting together. So, like, I'm telling you, like, that I don't think one guy makes or breaks a project. You could argue that, like, somebody like Metal Gear guy, what's his name? Yoshihatsu, yeah. Mitsu, whatever his name is.
No, that's not it. Kojima,
Hideo Kojima. He, that dude is maybe the visionary you want to make sure is on the project and not have somebody else do it. I don't know, just because it's so much, you know, everything is about his brain. But stuff like this, where you've got teams of hundreds, I don't think it's as big a deal. We've seen people get shed off of other projects at other major studios, and those games turn out great. So I'm not going to call this that dire. But it's still kind of a bummer when you lose your creative leads on your two most, I would argue, their most popular modern day popular games that BioWare has their name on.
Yeah, maybe I think Dragon Age is the area that's more concerning is, like you said, there's a difference between someone like, you know, Chris Metzen leaves. He wants to go do other things. He feels he needs to step away.
Right.
That's one thing. And whenever anybody leaves, it's always like, we have confidence in the team. We think this game's going to be great. You know, they always have very positive things to say. It's very, very rare that you get somebody that leaves the game and then goes, what a cluster F that was. That mm-hmm. place is going down the drain. It's going to be awful. It's going to be terrible. Like, they just don't do it. People don't do a lot of bridge burning in the video game industry.
No.
Probably because it's a very, like, you don't know where you're going to work from one project to another. You know, mm-hmm. Casey Hudson has already done this.
Yeah.
He came back. So, you know, you never know what's going to happen. You don't burn bridges. But what I think the concern could be is that sometimes it is indicative of a philosophy disagreement on what they want a game to be versus what it's going to be. And sometimes they can't see eye to eye on that. And them stepping away, even if it's graciously, is their way of saying, you know what, we don't get to do what we want to do, we're going to go do something else. You know,
right.
I think there's definitely been some sensibilities that happened with some Blizzard talent. It was like, a lot of these guys all seem to leave right around the same time. And then, mm-hmm. oh, hey, here's a new company. weird. A lot of those guys that all kind of left at the same time are all now over at that company. Weird. It's almost like there was something they wanted to do that maybe they weren't able to do at company A, and now maybe they can at company B. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe this could be an indicator towards that, but we don't know. Right. It's always hard to tell.
Right. Hard to say. Casey Hudson said this, or Dara said this, by the way, via post. He says, "This has been a very difficult decision for me. The team of amazing developers on Dragon Age," was where he was, "makes my life fuller and better. They have taught me so much, but the strength of the team is also what makes this possible. I know that Dragon Age won't just survive without me, but thrive." So a very gracious way of stepping aside. In Casey Hudson's case, he's been there since 97. His first credit came as an artist and designer for MDK2. And that was in, 2000? So 99, 2000, something like that. Man, remember MDK? Weird.
Yes.
Weird effing game. He left BioWare in 2014. He joined Microsoft the following year. Hudson rejoined BioWare in 2017, which then replaced departing GM or general manager Aaron Flynn. And then Dara joined BioWare in 97. Been there forever. And originally worked as a programmer, according to his LinkedIn profile. But they're out. They're off. They're done. So I'm still looking forward to whatever's next for those games. So,
yeah, I mean, they've got great worlds. They've got great universes. I hope they get to make it. Mass Effect Trilogy, the original three, are three of, if not my favorite games of all time. And the original Dragon Age is one of my all-time favorite games. Probably one of the games I've spent the most time playing in my life.
Yeah.
I've sunk so many hours into Dragon Age Origins. I just haven't really liked that series since then.
What a great game that was. Holy crap. Dragon Age Origins was exactly what we all wanted. It was the future of the BioWare template, right? The Baldur's Gate legacy, this thing, and it was their own world. So they weren't even dealing with somebody else's IP. They could make whatever they wanted, and they had this dynamic, beautiful engine, but also this ability to pause and make strategic choices. And it was really a love letter to those games and why those were so popular and why we loved them so much. And for whatever reason, they decided with 2 and forward, it was like, and I think 3 dialed it back some, but also 3 basically just kind of tried to Skyrim it. In a lot of ways, which I get it. That's an influential game. A lot of games try to Witcher it now, that's the influence, but you could even argue the Witcher 3 tried to Skyrim it a little bit,
a little bit. Yeah.
So what we're really saying is Skyrim is the most influential RPG of all time. And we're all screwed is what we're saying. Actually, the thing I'm most excited about RPG wise, I have a lot to be excited about because there's a lot of cool games coming, but that thing from Obsidian, who now Microsoft owns, that's kind of their Elder Scrolls-ish looking thing. I forgot the name of it. Oh, Butter Rum Nuggle Nuts. I can't remember the name. Whatever it is. That looks amazing. And that looks exactly like what I want. Which, again, has an interesting connection to something I'm going to talk about here in a minute. Because I had a weird week on my Xbox.
I know you did. There's another game you played that's not even on your list that I want to ask you about.
Oh, I should write it down. Hold on. I know what you're talking about.
It's a game that you pay full price for every single time
except,
it comes out. Although you didn't.
Except now.
So.
Except now. Hell is it? What's it called?
Destiny 2.
All right. I couldn't think of the name for some reason. All right. Destiny 2. We'll talk about that in a minute. Anyway, good luck, BioWare. We hope that all works out. Get to the games we're playing now. I've been playing a lot of Warcraft. I am taking my sweet time. I am not rushing through anything. All my friends are 60 and doing Torghast and all the endgame business. And that's great. And that's fine. But I did not feel FOMO this time around. I still don't. My drive is to enjoy this world and to take it one step at a time and to not rush anything. I am still in Ardenweald. That place is amazing. Playing it as a... I don't know if I told you this. I think I did. But I'm mainlining a druid this time through, not GURP. Normally my GURP first policy has been put on hold while I do this. And I'm kind of glad I did, because Ardenweald is especially rad as a druid. You just feel like you are part of that world in a way that, I don't know, just for obvious thematic reasons, but it's really jiving for me. And I'm loving it. I love the story so much so far. I'm loving that. I love the more linear approach to everything during this questing phase. And I'm super stoked for Endgame, and I'm feeling really, really happy about WoW right now. It's beautiful too. That game is freaking gorgeous.
Did you notice the Mandalorian connection in that zone?
No, maybe I just haven't hit it yet. What? Well, maybe I don't.
So did you do the thing where you're escorting the life seed pod? Between towns.
I think I'm there. I think I'm right before that happens is where I'm at.
Okay. So yeah, there's the life seed pod, and there's a part where they're like, okay, we don't think it's safe here. We need you to take it to the next town over.
Right.
And you basically escort it. You walk with it, and it's just this little pod floating alongside you. And I was like, wow, this has a real Mandalorian Baby Yoda kind of feel to it. And I checked, and you know how you can check the story progress you're making?
Yeah.
The title of that chapter is called This is the Way.
Oh, no way, dude. That's great.
So they 100% knew that that is exactly what it seemed
like. I love when they do that. Those kind of references are great. So I will now be extra watching for that when it happens. I think I'm about there in the story. I really like it a lot. I think it's great. I think my experience in this part of it so far, and there's always this phase of the game, right? This leveling phase is really, I'm feeling very positive about it. I haven't felt this good probably since Legion, and before that, maybe Pandaria, in terms of just me getting sucked into the world, really paying attention to story. These new sort of sub cutscene things that they do are so much better than they've been in the past.
Yeah.
And they're more frequent, and it just really adds to the texture of the experience. And I'm just really digging it. I thought everyone complained, or I heard ahead of time, like people were like, I'm not looking forward to Maldraxxus. Just looks like bold orcish freaking hell shit. I loved it there. And I thought the story there was badass, and it was metal as shit. It was great. I wanted to play like, I don't know, Five Finger Death Punch the whole time I played that zone or that part of the continent. It was amazing. I loved Maldraxxus. In fact,
I had one major issue with Maldraxxus. What's that? But for somebody that, like, from the get-go was one of those people that was like, wow, Maldraxxus sure got the short end of the stick when it came to all of this. What an awful looking zone that is.
Yeah.
Like, I'm with you. It was a pleasant surprise. It was a breath of fresh air. I think it's going to be one of the most important zones in the entire story.
Yep.
I think it's really cool. My one complaint is, as a crux to that story, you get a sword.
Yeah.
And they make a big deal about it. They're like, oh, you got a rune blade. And they like tell you, like, people will be like, you get in there and you show them what that rune blade can do. They never give you a sword.
No, you never
it's
use
just
the blade.
In your inventory for cutscenes. Yeah, and it goes back to what we talked about with Doom.
Yeah.
If you're going to do something, although this leads me to another funny story. If you're going to give somebody something, if you can give them a sword, give them the sword. I know not everybody can use a sword. Figure out a way. Like, if you're going to make a big deal out of it, they should have the sword. That's just kind of, and it bugged me every time. Every time they were like, go show them what your rune blade can do. I'm like, I can't.
Yeah.
I this can't isn't equip a, it.
No, it won't let me do anything. It's still me and my staff when I'm fighting. It would be great if it hovered near you, like you a little bit of diplomacy or something, or any of that would have been better. I agree. That's a bummer. But everything else about that experience I thought was just cool. And the right kind of dark and the right kind of dark, hard fantasy and just a setting I digged on way more than I thought I would. I like the aesthetic more than I thought I would. Like that, I think it's a really great contrast to everything else. And going from that and experiencing what that is and then being told, shit, we got to get to the forest land, which is couldn't be more opposite, is such a great showcase of these two art efforts that are so different. And I know the game's always done this, like, forever it's done this, right? There's always been a great contrast between where the night elves are from and what the barons looks like, and it couldn't be more opposite worlds. But there's something about this in particular was just really, really satisfying, and I'm loving it, really loving it. The voice work is amazing. That's the other thing, so much more voice stuff than they usually do. It's just great.
I gotta tell you, on the back of that, I don't know. I'm not going to say this was a direct reference. This could be coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
But we talked about it with Doom and Resident Evil 3 Remake and all of that, the importance of pushing the button.
Right.
That was what I kept saying we needed to be able to do, and it feels right.
Yeah.
There is a daily quest or a world quest where the entire crux is they're being invaded. It takes place in Bastion, and you have to find enough anima to charge up one of those super mechs, like one of the giant ones.
Okay.
Because it's going to decimate the army if you do it.
It's like the one you
powered
use
up. You power it up.
Yeah.
And then once you get it to 100%, the quest objective switches to push the button. And all you do is you right click to get into the mech. It changes your hotbar. It gives you one button.
Yeah.
You push the button. It fires a massive cannon of energy that disintegrates everything in front of it. And that's all you do for that moment. And I was like, this feels referential almost. Like, it's literally just called push the button. And that's all that it exists to do. And that's great.
That's exactly a little suspect. Like, somebody listens and said, because we talked a lot about that. You made a big point about that for, what was it? Resident Evil 3 remake thing.
Yeah.
And how you need to pull the trigger. It's got to be you. Not some cutscene doing it. You have to pull it. So I'm going to just go ahead and say we can take credit for that quest. How about that?
Okay, great. Yeah. I like that.
We'll just claim it.
Wow, you know what? Yeah. This world where you just do things.
Yeah, we just claim it. We can just say, hey, we claim it. It's ours now. I don't see a problem with this. It's fine.
I feel better about myself. I think this is a great way to live your life.
Yeah, why not? All right, so lots of WoW time. Anything else you'd add about WoW? Listen, I know, because you're obviously playing a ton as well. Anything else you want?
I got to run Torghast.
Oh,
yeah, I was kind of hoping to talk about it with Bo here, and so maybe I won't go too deep, but it's pretty good. It's actually really good. I guess I should clarify.
Yeah.
I like everything about going in there and doing it. Now, I'm going to say it might vary depending on your class. It seems very tailored to whatever class you are that goes in there, because you basically unlock crazy perks for your class as you're going through. And it's very interesting stuff.
I hear it's real rough on the rogues. Rogues have a hard time, especially their first time in there. Is that true?
Oh, do they?
Well, according to Ibbot, he's dead all the time in there, and he was really struggling with the final couple levels that he wanted to get through for the quest.
Well, Scott, I've raided with Ibbot, and dead all the time is exactly how I would describe raiding with Ibbot.
It's all right. He doesn't listen to the show. It's fine. He won't. He'll be fine. but I have heard like mages struggle in there. You know, it's just squishies without a lot of like survivability / self-healing and stuff like that.
There's elements of it. So I'm seeing people say too long, and rogues are struggling. I definitely can see where that comes in. But for me, the big thing is there's a massive power spike between how you feel getting up to the final boss and then dealing with the final boss. Because by the time you get to the final boss, you're like, whatever, pitiful creatures attack me, for I am awesome and I will strike you down and smite thee.
Yeah.
Like, they give you really cool things. Sometimes they're just like, hey, you get this talent. And if you already have that talent, you get to pick a different talent from your talent bar. And you just, like, that's a huge power spike. And so you get to the end and you're like, oh, I'm so great. And then it gets to the boss and the boss is like, yeah, you're not that great, kid. And just crushes you. And you're like, okay, well, all right. This game got really tough out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So I think there's definitely some difficulty tweaking. If rogues are saying that they're having a hard time, I'm not going to argue with it. Let them buff me, because I could use it.
Yeah, you wouldn't complain, right? Let's do it.
I'll always take a buff. Mm-hmm. You want to buff rogues?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Let John freaking stealth his way up every level, all stages. That's what he really wants. Just stealth it.
Yeah, it does take a very long time, because as a rogue, you know, you do move more methodically, and I want to fight everything because sometimes they drop these upgrades and you don't want to miss any. The only complaint I honestly have with Torghast is I don't think it's very rewarding.
Mm.
Like, imagine Rogue Legacy.
Okay.
Now imagine that permanent upgrade part of Rogue Legacy was not something you earned by doing a run inside the dungeon, but was done by playing a completely separate and different game from Rogue Legacy, and that's how you unlocked permanent power upgrades. Mm. You don't actually get anything from Torghast. You get materials for crafting a legendary item, and that's fine, mm-hmm. but that's completely separate from that permanent power upgrade. So if you want to get stronger to do better in Torghast, you play World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
You do anything else in that game.
Right.
So it's not very self-contained. It's like, I'm really struggling with Torghast. What should I do? The answer is go play World of Warcraft, not Torghast.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to improve by playing in that self-contained area. And that feels a little weird and a little off to me, but the experience itself is pretty good.
Yeah. I loved what I played only briefly in the beta, and then I quickly got out and said, I'm not touching this until it comes out, because it seems like something I'm going to want to spend a ton of time in. So why waste my time in beta? Sorry, Blizzard. I wasn't testing. but yeah, that sounds about what I expect it to be. And I think their goal there isn't to, you know, give you the same. It's not meant to be, hey, here's another place to do an alternative version of what everyone else is doing. That's usually what the game is. Like, well, here's end game. Some of you are going to want to do world quests all day and then unlock these and unlock that. And then some of you are going to be doing mythics and mythics plus or mythic plus dungeons. And the rest of you are going to be raiding. And some of you just want to play by yourselves. Well, guess what? We got this new Torghast thing that's just really fun to do and has rewards, but you know, it's not like this is, it's not the same as like the other methods of catching up and gearing up. It's like a different
right.
egg. And I think I'm okay with that, but I need to get in there and play some, which I can't do till I level. But I'm glad to hear you're enjoying it. I'll bet Bo likes it a lot because it just seems like something that would click in his brain and horribly addict him. So maybe we shouldn't tell him.
We'll keep it a secret.
Maybe it's our little secret. We'll see. Okay, so here's the science experiment that I did this week. And I hope you're all at home really grateful for the work I put in. So I did a really dumb thing. Here's what I did. And we talked about it before, which is what spawned the idea in the first place. And I just pulled the trigger on it. There was a lot of talk about how Ubisoft moving forward are going to make all of their games, their new games, platform cross-save. And they were going to start with their two of their big new flagship games, which are, I wrote Vikings, but I meant Assassin's Creed Valhalla. And the other one,
Watch Dogs
New Vegas. No, what's it? What is it?
Legion. New Vegas. Takes
Dog
place
Legion.
In London, New right. Vegas. It's London, the New Vegas.
And I wanted, so what I was really hoping to do is I thought, I really want, again, the couch thing. I want to be on my butt and I want to have like two pillows under my arms where I'm just like comfortable and not in front of my desk all the time. And I want to go back and forth. So I want to play a little here. I want to play a little there. I also want to see how it looks on Xbox, blah, blah, blah. So I did. I bought it on the Xbox for science to see what the difference was and also to see if the save thing worked. Now, the nice thing is I did it on the day that there was a massive patch that fixed some technical issues they were having on console. And also added a performance mode. I think you and I talked about it on the air that this was coming. Well, it came. And basically performance mode was they cut down on some of the higher end effects so you get a smoother frame rate. It actually looks really good. Honestly, I can't really tell the difference other than the non-mode is locked at like 30 at 4K and the mode with the performance mode is just silky smooth at 60 plus. So that's really the main difference, like fidelity-wise and distance, draw distance, all that stuff. I can't tell any damn difference. And I did a bunch of jumping back and forth, so I felt pretty good about it. Anyway, so that happened, and that did fix a bunch of the issues they were having. And this is, any big release has a patch pretty quick after launch anyway. So that was the day I got it. And I'm happy to say the easy part was easy. I got in there, and it said, hey, do you have a Ubisoft Connect account? They don't call it Uplay anymore. Sign in here and you can enjoy all the benefits, including cross saves. I'm like, all right, here we go. Let's give this a try. Let's see if this was a massive waste of $60 or if this is going to work. So I got in there and it very quickly and easily went, oh, here you are. Beep, boop, beep. You're done. Continue. You want to just keep playing? So seamless, no problem. Zero issues, no fancy rigmarole, no copying anything to anything. Which right now appears to be a thing you have to do with a lot of PlayStation stuff if you want to do similar things that we're doing. I'm sure that'll all iron out too over time. But it was nice to just see this go beep, we're done. It's really smart, easy to use. The game itself, great. Put me right where I left off on PC, ran around, did my stuff, killed a couple of guys, did some quests for the story, blah, blah, blah. All that stuff worked great. The load times are faster on the Xbox. So that was nice. Didn't expect that. They're a little slower on PC. And I'm running it on an SSD on PC, so I don't know what the difference is, but whatever Microsoft's, what do they call it, their velocity or whatever it is, their architecture is maybe that's what's shining through there. I don't know. I already use a controller when I am playing it on PC, so that wasn't an issue. And it just went great. Now, prior to this, I tried this thing. Somebody said, hey, go into your display settings on your PC and select your Xbox. Well, first you had to download an app on the Xbox. Basically, select your Xbox as a remote display. Try that first and see what happens. And sure enough, that freaking worked. That was weird.
Oh,
like,
really?
Yeah, I had like, you know, it was like playing Stadia or something, I guess, but just on the local network. Or it's like, you know, a Steam Link or whatever. It's a similar concept. And it ran in there just fine, but the controller mapping is all busted. It's like the select button did light attack, and the left trigger was pause, and all effed up controller-wise. So I don't know if that's a patchable thing or what the deal is, but like visually it looked great, and what movement I could get out of one of the sticks, I wasn't having lag and stuff. Like, it was actually really impressive, except all the buttons are wrong, and there was no way for me to remap it because I couldn't even navigate the menus. There was no, I could pause, but then nothing could move me side. It was really weird. So that was out. That option was off the table. I can't do that anyway. Anyway, so now let's fast forward. It all worked out, played a bunch, worked great and everything else. Here's the only downside I can think of. I was gifted my PC version. Okay. Which has helped me justify, you know, spending the extra on the console version.
Right.
And when it was gifted to me, it was gifted to me by an awesome listener who I adore. And he got me, he works at Ubisoft, or did. He gets a good discount. So he got me the monster $100 version. The I don't know what it's called. The massive edition, whatever it is. So it's all the extras, all the digital stuff.
That's what it's called. Yeah, even if it isn't, I want it to be called the
massive edition. In that version on the PC, you immediately get things like, oh, my default mount is like a freaking wolf, like a big dire wolf. And there are already an armor set you can wear, and it has bonuses and stuff. It's like all the stuff you get for digital, you know, higher end sets and stuff. And that's great. Those were playing great over here on the PC. No problem. Now, when I went and logged in over there, I popped in when I first ran it, I popped in very briefly sitting on top of my, direwolf wearing my, big hardy gear that I'd gotten from this enhanced edition for about 3 seconds. I'm sitting on this thing, and 3 seconds later, and if you blink, you'd miss it, but I watched it and I wish it would have captured it because this is what I'm thinking. But 3 seconds later, poof, all of that gear disappears. I'm down to my skivvies.
Oh no.
I'm down to my skivvies and I'm on a horse. The horse is now where the dire wolf was, the horse is today. Now, nothing else changed, but all of those gear slots were empty from that piece of gear. And thankfully, I had other backup gear and just put it on. No big deal. And then for the mount, it just defaulted to the horse I had. But I think it's kind of dumb that they know you've got two versions of their game, and that you had to have paid for both versions of those games, because they don't have a version that's like, oh, this plays on anything, right? They don't do that. So they know that I've got this over here, and they know I've got this over here, and they know that over here I paid for this enhanced edition, and over here I got the basic for $59. I think that stuff should carry frickin' over to the other thing.
Yeah.
It's really funky 100%. That it doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me that they did it that way. And maybe they'll rectify this. Maybe it's something that they just, it's an oversight. Like they just, oh yeah, right, those aren't parity. If you know, there could be programmatic reasons this happened. So this isn't me getting all haughty at them. I'm not pissed at them or anything. I just think it's silly, and that's a thing they should A, allow, and B, fix if it's a goof. Because what? Yeah, a
I mean, if they're
thing.
Gonna, if they're going to tout cross save,
right.
They need to take into account the benefits of cross save, which is, hey, I've done enough for you, Ubisoft. I bought your game twice. Yeah. You know, like, it's not like you're even on the subscription deal, which this would probably work if you were on the subscription deal. It probably would have worked fine.
Yeah, probably. Because
they probably would have given you a parity version between the two. Yep. But you decided to give them more than enough.
Yep.
I feel like they just need to, and I think video game companies in general should do a thing where it's like, hey, you pay for the Ultimate Edition, you unlock these features in the game, not because you're running, you know, in theory, this ultimate version, you've just now unlocked it across. And if you buy the game somewhere else, you know, you get it. But yeah. I think in reality, that feels like a half step. I think the real step we need to get to is just you buy a game once. Yeah, I'm with CD Projekt Red. You shouldn't have to buy the same game twice.
Yeah, I totally agree. Totally agree.
You buy it, you get it.
By the way, Microsoft seems to share that idea, which is great because a platform holder, that's an important person or an important group to agree with that thinking. I hope Sony comes around to that idea and others. I think we're definitely headed down that path. Whether people want to resist it or not, I think we're headed that way. So anyway, this is frustrating on that point. But again, I'm not 100% convinced it's not purely just this account is a basic account. Or this game, this version of the game, the serial number is a basic account. Over here, it's an account with a bunch of extra stuff. And when you're on one, you get the one has. And when you're on the other, you get the one that has. But never the twain shall meet. I wouldn't be surprised if that's just straight up the case. But it's not great, and they should fix it. Because in theory, even though I got a code, but let's pretend I didn't.
Right.
On the PC
side.
You
would have this issue whether you got a code or not.
It doesn't matter. Right.
That doesn't impact.
Right. Yeah. And so let's just pretend that I paid for all of that and paid the extra $45 or whatever to take it to that version. That money has been spent on the items that exist and they should exist in both places if the account is shared. It's just weird. Weird. So anyway, that was fun. You're all welcome. I'll be submitting my papers to science.com shortly, and yeah. I'll let you know what they say.
Published in many journals.
But here's what happened. This is so weird. So I end up going, all right, what else can I install on this damn machine? I'm going to just go crazy. I'm doing little games, small stuff, big stuff, middle stuff, just trying to put it through its paces, trying all the enhanced stuff, trying the stuff that was made for the new console, stuff that's made for Xbox One to see the difference, blah, 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 just trying it all. And everything's working great. No problems, no issues, no crashes, no burns, nothing. But then I spied with my little eye. I'm like, oh, right, Outer Worlds. I didn't finish that. And I really liked that. Why don't I just put it on here? So I did. And this is, you know, the other Obsidian game, the one from a lot of the team that did Fallout New Vegas, one of my favorite games of all time. And I remember loving what I played, but it got just kind of lost in the shuffle of last year's holiday games. I just, you know, that sometimes happens. And man, oh man, did I play a lot of Outer Worlds this week. I played a ton to the point that I felt bad that Viking Man was sitting there waiting for me, or that my druid was waiting for me, or a million other things are waiting for me, because I got sucked in this time hard. I decided to start over, and I got really into it this time. I'm reading every piece of text. I'm asking every question. I'm doing all the RPG-ness that I want. I'm now further in the game than I was the first time I played it. Like, I really went hard. And what I hope they do, because that game is definitely still an Xbox One game. It looks great. I mean, it's not like an ugly game by any stretch. But I know they got better frame rate in there somewhere. I know they do. They just have to update it. So I hope they do some of that, right? Like, I hope Microsoft, they may have opened up a Pandora's box a little bit by saying, oh, yeah, you'll just, you know, if you bought this one, then you'll just get the new one for free. But what they don't tell you is, well, we're not necessarily making enhanced versions of everything. Or, you know, bringing them up to speed on everything. And I understand that, right? That they wouldn't want to do that, or commit to do that for every single game. But I would love it if this one got some love like that, because really just frame rate is a little bit locked right now at a lower frame rate. And it otherwise is wonderful. That's a wonderful game. And I'm loving it. And I want to just keep playing it. I'm thinking about it right now. And I'm going to help what's her name? Pat Morita, whatever her name is.
Parvati.
That's
it.
Yep. I'm getting her hooked up with some lady. It's great.
Yeah. The spaceship captain or.
Yeah. Forgot
whatever
her
name is. The chief engineer.
Yep.
And I love that game. I got back into that game not too long ago, and it's the only thing that bums me out so much is I did the same thing. I was like, I'm reading everything. I'm going to get 100% into it, and I did, and it was so rewarding, and I got almost to the exact same spot that I stopped playing the previous time, and something else came out, and I stopped in the same spot. So I have played that game, done every side quest, everything I could do up to a little bit into Monarch. Mm. And then that's when I fell off the first time. And then that's roughly where I fell off the second time. And I'm just like,
well, if it wasn't for Cyber,
I got to get back to it.
If it wasn't for Cyberpunk, I'd be soldiering through. I think I'd just keep going and not stop. And I want the new DLCs up on there. I want to play that. I shouldn't say new. It came out in October, but I want to just keep going. I'm really into it right now. It just keeps sucking me in, and I don't know why. I think this is a story. The story is really great, and I finally got over. You know, there's that thing we've talked about on the show before. How sometimes you need to play a game at launch, and then sometimes you need to put it down, and then check it again later because you'll appreciate it outside of the hype bubble more. You'll look at it for what it is instead of what everyone is talking about what it is, and you know, it's just a more pure approach to the game, or at least it is for me. And that's what this playthrough is feeling like for me. Like I'm finally discovering the game that was there the whole time, but I hadn't fully embraced. And I love that feeling. But I realized what my problem was before. It wasn't around the hype of the release and it, you know, released with great reviews and all that. It's not like it was a negative thing. It's that it wasn't the wastelands of Las Vegas and the desert, because these are the developers that the guys who made New Vegas are making a thing. Well, this isn't a wasteland thing. There's elements, but it's not like that. It's get in your ship, go to different planets, land on the port, figure out what the hell happened. Talk to a bunch of dudes in town. Like mechanics and stuff are there. The RPG elements are there. They're all there, but it's a very different setting and therefore tone than what New Vegas was. And I had to get over that. And that's what this playthrough has done. It's like I picked it up again and went, oh, well, I don't have that baggage now. I'm not thinking about that anymore. I'm just playing this for what it is supposed to be instead of what I came into it remembering what they did before. So therefore, this should be the same. It's a weird psychology, but I'm glad I did and got over that hump because I am really enjoying that game. It is great.
I had to do the same thing with Fallout 3, one of my all-time favorite games, and I got it when it came out, and I didn't beat Fallout 3 until after all the DLC was out. Yeah. I didn't become a fan of that game until long after they were pretty much done with it, and it was just sometimes you just have to come back to it at your own pace and find it, and I found that to be especially true for games like Fallout, that style of RPG. You really have to be in the mood for it.
Right. Yeah. I guess I'm in the mood. I don't know why. I just am. I think part of it is, again, I got a couch. I got a blanket. I got a dog next to me. I got pillows propping my arms up. My neck's laying back comfortably. I'm like in a place.
I'm picturing a pillow like under each arm and you're just like, yeah.
Dude, there's nothing I like more than just being surrounded by mushy. Oh, it's my idea of heaven. And I haven't done that in so long. So it was nice. It was just nice not to be all crooked necked and sit in front of a computer for once. That's, you know, 10 feet away from my, or that's 10 inches from my face. Instead, I'm 10 feet away from this thing. It's a big TV, you know, 75 inch thing. And it's glorious on there. I'm not feeling the normal, like, oh, load times on consoles are so bad, or this disc is taking forever, or it's loud, or I'm not having to deal with any of that stuff. It's just all magically happening. That's what I think I love about the tip end of this new generation, is both consoles seem to be aiming for something that is much more solid state and standalone and not rickety and shitty. You know what I mean? Like, they're still affordable, quote unquote, affordable, without skimping a lot on, you know, everything's plastic and everything's garbage and everything's everything. It's like, it just, we're finally at a better industrial design state for these standalone machines, and time will tell if, you know, they can pull off a strong generation or not, but I'm really liking this entry point a lot. So not something I expected to say. Didn't expect to feel that way.
No, because I didn't expect to play any video games on the console at first. I was like, well, I'll get Valhalla.
Yeah.
Just because.
Right.
But then I got into it and I started doing the, sort of the same stuff you're doing of just loading up a bunch of stuff. And I thought, oh, you know what? This generation's going to be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be fine. It'll actually be a lot like my it's a lot like my PC mode of play now.
Yeah.
Just in a different format, because they're giving me all this old stuff that just works because I still have it, and Game Pass is a relatively new thing, but it, to me, it feels like just another subscription that I, if I use it a ton, it's totally worth it. And so far it already is, like, it's already worth it. Like, I don't have any complaints. I'm really liking it. Yeah. And I can't wait to see how that pans out, because I just think there's, and there's a strong arguments on both camps, like Sony and Microsoft's, for these things becoming more workhorse generational devices that just keep it going and not necessarily restart the whole thing every time. That's what I think I like about it. I'm done with, like, throw out the old, we got the new. Like, it's, there's something about that aspect, especially with the Series X at this point, that I really like. And honestly, I think Sony's going to be compelled to go that direction even more as a result. Just because I think players are going to want it. So anyway, so all that psychology aside, the last thing I installed and played a ton of, didn't expect to like, because in the past I've always fallen off pretty quick, was Destiny 2, which I guess Tuesday is getting a massive patch to take everything next gen. And so we're about to get, like, huge upticks in frame rates, ray tracing, 4K, 120 frames per second, all that stuff. That's all happening Tuesday. But I installed it as it stands today. That game's still really pretty. You'd never know it wasn't a next-gen game anyway. That's the weird thing about all these games. They all just look great. But when did Destiny 2 get good, John? When did that happen? Holy shit.
I would argue that it was always kind of good. But there's going to be people that staunchly disagree with that statement, but I'm going to say it anyway. Mm. I think Destiny 2 was pretty solid when it came out. In fact, I talked a friend of mine into buying it, and he doesn't ever play it, and I feel a little guilty about talking him into buying it. But it was solid. I really liked Destiny 2, and I played a lot of it at the start, and then I kind of got to that end game, and I didn't love the end game loop at that point, yeah. And I fell off of Destiny. And then they made some updates and changes that cost the entire cost of the game again. And if you paid that money, by all accounts, that version of the game was really good at that point. I never did. So I guess depending on how you answer that question, Scott, it either got good then and has continued to stay or improve, or it was good right out of the gate. But
I think it probably
has always felt awesome.
Like, oh yeah.
Feeling the way of a shooter should, Destiny 2 plays the way you want a console shooter.
I completely agree. It plays really great on console. It plays great on PC. Like, that's never been an issue. Just the minute to minute combat, maybe the best there is. Maybe that's a tall thing to say, but like, as far as an ongoing game, I would shoot. In fact, you know what would get me into freaking Fortnite? If it played like Destiny, then I'm in.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, dude. Just, I know it's not the same, because you're not fighting waves of AI and things like that, but it's just a really responsive, even in its current state. I can't wait for this update, but I ended up playing a ton of that, getting pretty far and enjoying it, like liking the story. They've changed the whole introductory thing, because I started a new guy, all different. It's all changed from launch. I don't know when it changed. Here's the beauty, though. Okay, this is the part I wanted to get to, because John's right. Every time you want to play Destiny, it feels like you've got to pay another $60 to play Destiny, right? Every time.
Yep.
If you have Game Pass, no longer true. They have the main game, and it tells you right there, install the main game, and then install the expansions in this order. And then you go install whatever the Forsaken thing was, and then the other one after that, and then this new one, Frozen, or whatever it is. There's ice in it.
Wrath of the Lich King.
Wrath of the Time of the Time We Killed the Lich King.com. Anyway, that one, install that, all of it for Game Pass free. There's no, you don't have to buy anything. So, John, I literally did it for nothing. All of it.
I might have to do this. I have wanted to get back into Destiny ever since I started hearing people say it's really good, but we all know my feelings on paying for Destiny. If you didn't make it good, I can't justify the cost. Now I can. Free, turns out, I can justify free, Scott.
You can do that's free? Fine. Okay, good. Yeah. Well, if you do, we should tool around in that and see if we can't like raid and do stuff like people do.
What class do you play as?
The Hunter. I like the Hunter.
So it's like they got capes?
It's got a cape, throws a knife.
Yeah, that's what I play too.
Stabby, stabby. Yeah, probably very, it seemed like the kind of class you'd go for. And it's still only the three classes, which really surprises me. I thought Destiny would have more classes by now, but in a way it makes sense because it's like, we need a big bruisery type. We need a guy who's a little more finesse, but does a lot of DPS. And then we need a magey person. And that's
weird
it.
Warlock shit.
Yeah, weird warlock shit. And that's it. But I do like the Hunter a lot. I've always played him. I played all of them at one point or another, but I really like the Hunter, so I did that. And I'm digging it, like really, truly digging it. And I don't know how much playtime I'm going to give it. Probably more than... I mean, if I'm going to, I don't know. There's too much shit out right now. I got to get Warcraft where I want to be there. Like, there's a lot to play, but what I played
and
really
impressed me. Cyberpunk in 7 days, Scott.
Yeah,
Less than that.
We're screwed.
We're done.
Yeah, we're
like,
done.
Like, don't plan on anything.
Yeah. Everyone just forget it. Go home. Eat your dinner. All right. One final question for you before we move on to this email. Do you see yourself continuing to play more Fortnite? And will it depend on what cool licensed product crossover they give you?
Yeah. I mean, the only reason I played was to... Because I said exactly what I said might happen to you. I said, there might come a day that I want to play Fortnite.
Mm-hmm.
And when that day comes, I'm going to be mad that I can't look like a Mandalorian if I don't do this. So I went and I corrected that problem. I saw a future potential issue and I took care of it today.
Yeah.
Now, I am feeling the temptation because I'm sitting there and I'm looking at that Beskar. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, I got a shoulder pad. So mm-hmm. right now, I am the kind of person that, you know, takes the Baby Yoda job but doesn't finish the Baby Yoda job.
Sure.
I should maybe do the rest of these quests and get the rest of the armor. And get myself all decked out. And I see myself making progress on that. I got the shoulder piece. I've got one of five whatever MacGuffins I got to do to get the... I don't know why the helmet is one. I don't know what it changes because the helmet was already Beskar. But I'm on my way to unlocking the helmet upgrade. And I'm kind of tempted. I'm like, I could deck him out completely and that would be really cool. And there's just enough... stuff on the season pass that I'm like, well, that's neat. Like the little hang glider that comes out of your back. Yeah. One of those, I don't know how it looks, but it's the Razor Crest.
Oh, that's cool.
It's just a spaceship. And I was like, that's freaking awesome. I want that.
Yeah.
So yeah. I might put in a little bit, but like you, there's not a lot of time. There's a lot of things I'm interested in. I could probably fill an entire show of what I've been doing in World of Warcraft, which is good because I do a WoW show,
yeah,
but like I've been playing a lot of that game. And so Cyberpunk's coming out. So it's kind of whatever I can do up till Cyberpunk and then all other games disappear.
You just need the Beskar COD piece and then you're good.
Yeah.
Forget about everything else.
Yeah, you don't want to take a lightsaber to the groin.
No. Nobody wants that, but they do want this.
That's a good question.
These are emails. We read them on the show. It's at talktothecore@gmail.com. Yeah, that's right. Super easy to remember. Write it down. Commit it to memory. talktothecore@gmail.com. And we got one from Crash Course. His last name spelled with a K. That's pretty cool. He says this. The subject is Game Pass. Hey, Scott, John, and Bo. Just wanted to drop you a quick note to say 100% I recently signed up for Game Pass because of Core. Oh, hey, Microsoft, how about a little bit of Founders Fee or finder's fee.
Yeah.
Not founder's
fee. We sent him your way.
Yeah. Anyway, it says it's a nice perk that that flight sim was on there. I wanted to check it out, but would never get into it enough to justify the full price tag. Now I'm hooked with Wasteland 3, and after listening to this week's show, I somehow find time to try Crusader Kings 3, which is also on there. For the $6 Canadian a month, you really can't go wrong, although at first, I didn't think I'd go past the $1 intro offer. If they kept offering the great content they are, though, every month, I will probably stick around. So far, they have done that. In fact, today, a whole new slew of new games up there, I noticed. I'm going to go check some of them out. It comes along at a time when I'm done spending $80+ on an Ubisoft title. I'm looking at you, Breakpoint, only to be over it by the time they fix it and make it the way it should have been in the first place. Breakpoint is pretty good right now, but yeah, it's ship broken. I do not, as much as I like Ubisoft games, he is not wrong about that. I say this with great conviction, but I just know I'll be suckered right back into Valhalla. By the way, Valhalla is awesome and amazing. I still love it. You should get it. He says, I like Bo, always said I'd never move away from Steam. I only have so much brain capacity to remember what I'm playing and where, but I think Microsoft Game Pass may have stolen a bit of that attention away from me for a time to come. Thanks. I'd love to listen to a bunch of stuff on Frog Pants, but Core is the highlight of my week. Keep up the great work. Oops, wasn't so short after all, says Crash. Well, Crash, Mr. Bandicoot. I hate to be shilling for Microsoft all episode, but it is a crazy, stupid value right now. Whether that holds for long or feels as valuable later, you know, there's a lot of questions about where this ends up. But right now, it just feels ridiculously good. And I love it. And it's the best value in gaming. It just is.
And I saw some people in chat say, wow, you guys sure talk a lot about Xbox Series X and Game Pass on the show. It's kind of becoming about it. I mean, it's not intentional. We didn't sit down and go, hey, we need to make sure we talk about Game Pass every single episode. But the reality is, you know, we all are doing our best. Nobody sends, well, Scott, you get some stuff, but
sometimes, yeah.
In general, what video games I play are the video games I bought.
Right.
You know, and same with consoles and all of that. And we tried to say, like, hey, for all of us, we all kind of looked at the next gen, and either in the case of Bo decided, you know, not going to do it, or in the case of Scott and I, we both leaned Series X because of things like Game Pass. So, I mean, if Sony wants to send me a PS5, I am not going to yell at them.
You're not going to turn that down. And the thing is, 6 months ago, you and I were looking that direction way more than we were this. Because that's just where our heads were at. We're like, well, okay, can't wait to see what Sony does. And we know we love their first party games. And, you know, like, that's the fun of this industry. It ebbs and flows. And it may affect what we're personally playing, but we'll always talk about everything.
You know, I'm not opposed to speaking high praise for Sony. You know, by all accounts, PS5 is an awesome little machine, and people love it. I know a couple people with it. They think it's great. And if my mom buys one, maybe I can actually speak a little more firsthand about it.
But, yeah, use that controller
that's
finally.
That's how I will find out.
Yeah, exactly. And this probably doesn't need to be said, but a couple years ago, I got complaints on video game shows that all I talked about was Sony. So it shifts around, man. What can I tell you?
I mean, we see it right now in the chat. Do you think it's problematic that you run a gaming podcast and none of you are going to be able to play PlayStation exclusives? It's not ideal, but we live in a world where we do a video game podcast and we can't afford every video game that comes out.
That's
the reality of this. You have to play what your interests are.
Right.
Now, if all you care about as a listener is, I don't want to hear anything about Game Pass, I want to hear about Miles Morales. That's the game I'm into, and that's what I want to hear. Then this ain't going to be a great podcast for you right now, because none of us are playing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you have to go where the attention's going to be. I would play it in a heartbeat if I could justify the purchase.
Right.
So,
and right now we can't. It doesn't even mean that we won't eventually. Like, I mean, who am I kidding? There'll be a PS5 under my TV probably within 12 months. Like, that's just how I just know that's how it's going to go. And when it does, that's fine. But I probably won't rush out and spend $70 on every game. Like, I'm going to be a little more hesitant. There'll be flagship titles that I just have to play. The new God of War, I just have to play it. And so, sure, I can make that justification, but I also expect Sony to start to bring more value to the table as well. So, yeah, this happens every time there's a new generation. Everybody wants to get all tribal about it. There's no reason to. We're just, you know, we're just where we're at. And by the way, if you want to be sick of us talking about a thing, wait until Cyberpunk hits. That's all we're going to want.
Yeah, get ready for a lot of episodes. What'd you play? Cyberpunk?
Yeah, and talk about, and we're not going to care what platform we played it on. It's just going to be, what is that game and what's happening in it and what are we liking it? And like, that's just how it's going to be. Some may listen to today's episode and go, too much WoW talk. Do it on your WoW shows. Yeah, I learned a long time ago. You just got to talk about what you're going to talk about. It's fine.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be. And I'll probably end up getting Miles Morales at the very least on PS4. But we can't play everything. I still have games that you talked about on Game Pass that you convinced me I had to play.
Yeah.
That I haven't gotten to. I've installed them, but I haven't gotten to it. And this email just reminded me, oh yeah, I wanted to play Crusader Kings. Like, I really, really, really wanted to get into that game. Mm-hmm. And it's just hard. There's so much to play right now.
I also want to get back to that old world game that's still on Epic only. Like, I loved that, and they've done a ton to it. It's still in early access, but I want to check it out. I haven't had time to go in there. So we're usually
said accused, old world, and I thought the MMO again. I've told you so many times that I hate that name.
Yeah, you hate it. You hate that title, and you're not wrong. It's too generic. Maybe they'll change it. I don't know. I think it's fine because I don't think of the MMO, but you're right. It's bad.
It is fine. It's not. I thought it would be funny after I heard you and Dunaway talking about it. I thought it would be funny to agree with him. But then every time you say old world, I go, what game? And I try and think about it. And I was like, that MMO that came out? Yeah. And then I remember, oh, no, it's the game that I gave you crap for being a bad
title. Yeah. Yeah. And then there's that other one, the other civilization like. That it's very interesting looking humankind. What is it? Human. What's that called?
Well, they've all got such unique standout names.
It's a paradox
that
thing.
All bleed together.
It's a paradox published thing. And oh my gosh, I can't think of what it's called, but that looks amazing from what I've seen. Like, those are going to kill me when those come out. But we all eyes to Cyberpunk for now. That thing will come out. What if it's terrible? Then we'll never talk about it.
It could be. We were like this with No Man's Sky, which is a phenomenal game, but
in its current state,
not launched that way.
Nope. But in its current state, that game is amazing. Don't. And it's on Game Pass again, if you don't already own it. But that game is so good. But in 2016, had that launched with all that hype, and you know, had we been talking about the stuff we talk about now on there, we would have all been like, dude, what a stinker hole. They effed up. You know, we would have been pissed. So,
and CD Projekt Red made one of the greatest games of all time in Witcher 3, but Witcher 1 and 2 didn't exactly set the world on fire. They were a good foundation, a good starting point. So it's not like you can even go, well, every game they've ever made has been the greatest game ever made, and it's therefore we know. It could be bad.
It could be bad.
But we're all going to be playing it, so we will all be here to either console each other or celebrate together.
Let's find out together if it's bad, because we will. All right. That's it. Send us your other emails if you guys have thoughts or feelings or a response to this. TalkToTheCore@gmail.com. That's TalkToTheCore@gmail.com. Bo should be back next time we do a show, so don't stress too much about that. But say howdy to him on Twitter. That never hurts. He's over at Bo Schwartz. I'm at Scott Johnson. John is John _, which is loud. John _ Jagger. I'm at Scott Johnson. I already said that. Hey, don't forget also you can support us at patreon.com/core show. Tis the fuel in our tank that keeps this engine running. And we really, really appreciate it. Brand new month starting too. And it's the month of Christmas. Why not give back to your favorite video game podcast? And then consider coming to us as well and giving us a little as well. Just kidding. I know we are some people's favorite game show, and it makes me nervous when they say that, but I'm really happy to hear it. And like all these like Spotify lists going around this week, and I keep seeing Core on a lot of lists, and it's like, whoa, all right.
Yeah, look at that.
Nice.
It's been very nice. It's felt very good.
I agree. So keep that up. Frogpants.com/core is our website. You can visit that anytime. And of course, we record mostly on Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Mountain Time, although today's Thursday. A little weird this week, but usually then. So come watch live if you're able to. I think that'll do it. John, any final comments or thoughts before we go?
It's not the best choice. Mm. It's Spacer's choice.
Oh, man. Now I know what I'm going to go do tonight after this. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We'll be back next time. We'll see you then. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.